coming up on Your Best Life.
Now here's my message for you this morning. That prophet said to that woman, get ready for a miracle. Get empty vessels, because something's going to happen in your world in the next few hours that could be absolutely life transforming. If you get enough empty vessels in your house, you're going to experience an endless, unlimited, everlasting flow of the oil of God. So she ran around the village. They got as many vessels as they could. They stuck them in there. Listen to me. If she had got 10 Japanese super tankers for oil, there'd still be a skeleton in Israel there holding a flask of oil with oil pouring out. It was only going to ever stop when empty vessels stopped being brought. Now I'm living
my best life. Welcome to another message by Pastor Phil Pringle, leader of C3 Church. We are praying that this message will bless you and help you live your best life. For more information about Pastor Phil and C3, please visit myc3church.net.
I'm so excited about this Psalm, Psalm 23. It's so well known by everybody, but this week we're simply going to be tackling the very first line on this Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The word want there is better rendered lack. I shall not lack. But the word want is good just for a second to alleviate us from living a life where we always want stuff. I want to have that. It gets close to what the Bible calls covetousness. To get content, to be happy. And sometimes you hear phrases like, as long as it makes you happy. Actually, there's probably nothing that makes you happy in the end. You think it's going to make you happy. But when you get it, you couldn't say, oh, well, now I'm totally happy. I never need anything else. Happiness is a decision you make to just be happy. I'm just going to be happy with what I got. I mean, I know some of you, you say like, man, but you don't understand what I get paid. I need to get paid what I'm worth. No, you don't. You don't want that. It might be a lot lower than what you're getting right now. I want the wife I deserve. You don't want that either. And it's like, you married up. So it's like getting happy with what you got. And discontentment is, it's a miserable way to live. Because I know people who don't have children and, oh, they're just breaking their hearts to have a child. And then I know people who have children. Saint golly, how do we get rid of these things? And, you know, I mean, once you got them forever. There it is. We downsized our house not so long ago. To try and let them know it's time to leave. And they did, but they come back. They come back. They just, I don't know what it is. If you've got a nice home, that is. You know, well, whatever. I'm not talking about the home. I'm talking about the house. I'm talking about the environment. And so it's like, if I only get there, then I'll be happy. If I get on a plane, I go to London, oh, it'll be so exciting. You know, I'll be a different person. But when you're getting off the plane, you'll find that you're there too. And you go like, what are you doing here? I thought I was going to be different. I was going to be another person. I was always going to be happy. Going places, having stuff. That's not what happiness. Happiness is you just decide, here today, I'm going to be a happy person. Go on, go ahead. You know you're miserable. Just change it right now. Stop being miserable. Stop it. You know who you are. Stop it now and say, today, amen. Do you know what it's like living with you? You ought to ask yourself, what would it like to be living with me? Ah, man, that's a healthy self-image. Love that. What's it like being your child? What's it like being your father? What's it like being your wife, your husband? You know, that's. I ask that about you. I say, what's it like being in my church? What's it like listening to me? You know, I mean, it really makes you think about what you say and don't say and what you do. What's it like being in your connect group? I mean, do you have five people and you pull out a pulpit and stand there for 3 hours giving a Bible study? It's boring, I'm telling you right now. But if you could get friendly and be attractive, magnetic, and here that word want lends itself to that. But actually, having said all that, it really means lack. And so David is saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. I'm in want of nothing. Now, when I first became a Christian, I imagined that the Bible was written by kind of scrawny-looking old men living in a cave with very long beards and a little bowl of rice. And they go, whoo, there's another thought. Yeah, I'll write that one down. And wait around for another 10 years, and then inspiration hits. Ooh, I'll write that one down. And that, hence came the Bible. Nothing like that. Nothing like that at all. This psalm is written by a king sitting on a throne. Purple gown, crown on his head, big army. $2.4 billion in his back pocket for the building fund offering. That's his personal offering. Then he's extraordinarily wealthy. And so he isn't saying, you know, like some poor farmer or cave dweller. He's a king. He's making a boast. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. And he's written it for the entire nation. This is a psalm for their nation to sing. It'd be like Tony Abbott writing a psalm saying, the Lord is my shepherd. It's a little unusual to think of that, but that's what it was. The king of the nation was saying, people, the Lord is my shepherd. And that's some admission to make for a king, to admit I need a leader. He isn't the end of the leadership run or the line. He is saying, I've got a leader above me. The level of our authority in life is dictated by the level of submission we have to a power above us. And so our level of obedience to God will determine the level of authority we have on earth. Even a Roman soldier figured that out about Jesus. So I can see how you work. So when you're doing what God has told you to do, you'll have power in all sorts of ways. But when we don't do what he says, we're on our own. So when I've got a shepherd and the king says, the Lord is my shepherd, it means I've got somebody who tells me what to do, who guides me in my life. He cares for me on the one hand, I shall not lack, but also he's my shepherd. And if King David is saying he's a shepherd, he's identifying himself as a sheep. And that's where a transformation has taken place, because the natural human condition is to be more like a goat. Cantankerous, difficult, swallow anything, doesn't get along easy. But then you meet Jesus and you are transformed from goat to sheep. And you become a more innocent, more vulnerable person, trusting, but you become part of a family, because sheep travel as a flock. They don't travel as isolated individuals. So David is saying, I'm part of a flock. I'm part of the family of God. This shepherd isn't just my shepherd. He is the shepherd that oversees our entire flock. And that's important. It's important to turn up. It's important to actually be in the house of God. I know we've got online, and God bless you. Love all of our online watchers and our online campus. But somewhere down the line, our fellowship needs to become face-to-face, where you're actually communion. You're in communion with one another. You have a thing called fellowship. And that's difficult to achieve through technology. You've actually needing to turn up. And I gotta tell you, this last week, our prayer meeting, I love being in our prayer meeting. It's 7 o'clock on Tuesday night, just an hour. And I love being there. It's on fire. I need to pray. I don't know about you. You probably don't need to pray. Everything's just going perfect for you in your life, and you don't have need of anything, but I need to pray. You might have everybody who's come to Christ in your family. I still need to pray. Amen. I need to get things happening, and I got nowhere else to go except him. And especially as we're starting all these new services, stepping out around the city, sending out people all over the place, hundreds of people around the city to start services, literally hundreds of people. And so as we sow and seek to reach more people around the city, our goal is 100,000 people. And you and I have got to be involved in multiple services. We're having plenty of services all over the city right now in the city. There are gatherings together. But all of that needs to enlarge. It ain't going to happen without us seeking the Lord, coming together and praying. And I'm getting excited about the Tuesday night prayer meeting, gathering all the people from around the city together, 7 o'clock. We might put some teaching in that meeting as well, make it more like a whole service and whatever. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The great thing about having him as a shepherd, David thought, the first concept that came to his mind is I'm going to get provided for. He's going to lead me to places where I'm going to discover provision. So Philippians 4:19 is one of the most powerful verses in the entire Bible. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I've found that I've always got more vision than finance. Always want to do more than we've actually got resources for. And that's a great place to be because you're stretched. And you, when you step out and you say, we're going to do this, then you got to know that somewhere you're going to find the cash for that. You're going to find the financing for that. This last week, I watched our TV show on ACC. Anybody watch our TV show? Paul Macken watched it. Yeah. You should watch it. It was amazing. And I don't like watching myself preaching on TV that much, but I was watching this and he was good. He was, no, you're laughing. He was good. I was caught. I got saved. I put my hand up. I said, hey, pray for me. That's a weird thing when you're praying for yourself to get saved. That is weird. All right. And I thought, this is so amazing. We used to be on commercial television in this city. And I can't remember, we just spread all over the place. And we're seeing 800 people receive Christ a week just in India through our TV show. Amen. Yeah, so that's good. Every week, boom. That's just one nation. And like somebody told us, we have a footprint of about 1 billion people through what we're doing with that. That's not actually watching, but of that, there are a significant number. 2 weeks ago, I had a letter from a woman in this city who saw me on TVS. I don't even know what that is. It's in the city, though, and it airs at 10 a.m. It's got a bandwidth of about 3 centimeters. And it's like, I don't know how you even find it, where it is on the dial or whatever, but somebody watched it and came to Christ. Can you imagine if we multiplied that, like to cover everywhere? But then I said to the guys, find me the costs and everything else and tell me the rates and times. So we're working on that. But I know it's in the vicinity of 300,000 to 400,000 a year. And I think we have just got to get back on that commercial air television. But I also know our budget is accounted for in pretty well every way. And as we come to the end of our Vision Builders time, I just want to let you know that that's part of the vision. To see that happen in this city. I would love us to think that we're believing together. I want you to believe with me that we'll be able to do that in the next few months. We'll be back on commercial TV on a Sunday morning so that people can switch on one of those free-to-air TV shows and see us there. My God, everybody say it with me. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The reason we're talking about provision today is because a lot of people right now in Sydney are very stressed about buying a house. Can we do it? Should we stay in Sydney? Should we move to, God forbid, Melbourne or Brisbane or wherever else? Or maybe Wyong or maybe we go out in the desert. It's cheaper out there, but there's nobody there. People want to live here, and you need to take that scripture home with you. Say, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. There's a lot of negative talk about, oh, it's too expensive. You're never going to do it. How can a young couple buy? Forget all that information. Listen to your pastor. You can do it. You'll find there's enough for you from the hand of God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You can buy a house in Sydney. You can raise a family in the city. You say, I don't know if I can afford to send my kids to the school. You can afford to send your kids to the school. Change your believing and you'll find a strategy to make it happen. When you step out, you are going to find yourself stretched. Your faith is stretched. But I want to take you through a story in the Old Testament where you will discover how God provided for this woman. He provided for everybody right through Scripture. You see the Israelites in the wilderness, they got meat falling out of heaven. They got manna falling out of heaven. They've got shoes that never wear old, clothes that never wear out. Not good news for the ladies. No new shoes or clothes, but anyway, for 40 years. Wow, that's like, that's the wilderness. And you want to get over that Canaan land as quick as you can. So it's like, then there's Jesus, when he turns up, bread, fish for everybody out of a little loaves and fish lunch pack. Wine, 180 gallons of wine at the end of a wedding. I don't even know what you'd do with that much wine at the start of a wedding. I got some idea, but you know, I mean, that's a lot of wine. And then you got coins in fish's mouths for tax provision. God is a provider. You're in his flock. That's why David said, I'm not going to lack. I'm in the covenant people of God. I'm going to get provided for because God is a provider. He'll look after me. There are principles for this provision to take place. And we discover it in 2 Kings 4, verse 1 to 6. One of the greatest stories in Scripture. It says, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? She said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it into those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Incredible story. Starts out with a woman who's a widow just recently because her husband died. But he was a preacher. He was a minister. He was a man of God. And they served the Lord. That whole family served God faithfully. They're in church every week. They read the Bible. They prayed. They brought their tithes. They did whatever it took to serve the Lord. He had borrowed some money to get their house together, but then he dies. Right at that point, it's an easy thing for people to get so disappointed with God to say, well, what was all that about? Here we are, faithful Christians, serving the Lord, and yet this bad stuff happens to us. You've got to realize that sometimes bad things do happen to good people, and that just being a Christian doesn't inoculate you against bad things happening. The fact is, this bad thing that happened to her was actually the greatest opportunity that could ever have happened in her life. But she could have circumvented that opportunity if she had gotten an attitude. Said, well, I'm out of there. They talk all about victory and overcoming and that. But you can't have victory and you can't be an overcomer unless you've got something to overcome. And right there, being in Christ is not going to say your whole life's going to ride like an easy Disneyland ride. In fact, I would say this to you, that becoming a believer has probably improved the possibility of trials and difficulties in your life. Yeah, it has actually increased that option because you're going upstream. You're not flowing with the current. You're moving against the tide. You're actually making a stand for things that this whole world doesn't stand for, doesn't appreciate, doesn't want to have anything to do with. And so she went to God with her problem. Whenever you got a difficulty like this, do not run from him, run to him. So she goes to the prophet and she says, listen, I'm in a real bind. My husband just died. He's left us with a huge debt. The creditor has come. He's cleaned out my house. I got nothing left in the house. And now, because he sold everything and it didn't satisfy the debt, I'm going to lose my two boys. I'm going to lose my family. The creditor is coming. Sounds like a movie title, doesn't it? He was a small boy in a big town. The creditor is coming. I mean, it's like, da-da-da-da. this ominous feeling, the creditor is coming. And there is a force in this world that is trying to destroy families without any shadow of a doubt. And often it's through the dad being absent. If you're thinking of that, fathers, don't do that. Stick around. Walk through the valley. Walk through the trial. There are treasures on the other side of darkness that you can't discover unless you go through that valley. And so it's important that this family be healed and stay together. And so the prophet, he says, I've got an answer for you. But he doesn't come at it like that. He says, what shall I do for you? The greatest way that you're going to find the wisdom of God come to you is to ask a question. Say, what shall I do? If we think, I know what I'll do. I'll just fix it up like this. I mean, he didn't say, let's go down the bank and get a loan. Let's pass the hat around the community and see if we can't look after you. He didn't even stop to think like that. He said, I need to look to God. Even though I'm a prophet, even though I've got experience with all of this, I need to ask, what'll I do? That's a great place to be. Even as a businessman and you're in a tight spot, don't think that Jesus doesn't know what to do. He helps fishermen who've had no fish catch an enormous bunch of fish. So he can guide us if we just stop and say, what should I do? Here this morning, maybe just on the inside, you say, God, I'm going to look to you. Instead of rushing ahead, making my mind up about what I'm going to do, I'm going to say, what should I do? So as soon as he does that, he gets an answer. And the answer is to ask a second question, which is an awesome question. He says, what do you have in your house? And she says, I got nothing. She's negative. I don't have a thing. Oh, I got this little flask of oil. That's all I got. He said, and then he got the wisdom. He got the strategy. Let me tell you this. It didn't matter what she had in the house. He says, what have you got? He didn't say, do you have any oil? It doesn't matter what you've got. God can use that to solve your problem. But the answer is in your house. It is in your hand. Somehow, some way, God can take whatever you've got, and you've got it right now. Don't be looking over your shoulder thinking, oh, if only I had that. If only I had that person's investment strategy. If only I had bought that house 20 years ago. If only, forget that. Right now, the answer to your provision is in your hand. It's in your house. You've got it right under your nose. The problem is we don't believe in what we've got enough. When we made a commitment to our building fund a number of years ago, after we'd already made several, we made a new one that was going to stretch us. And I didn't know how we were going to fulfill it. I just believed that somehow we could do this. And I stepped out of our bedroom. Our bedroom went directly outside into a little courtyard with a tree. And as I walked out there one morning, walked out instantly, I had a vision of a painting. Now, I was trying to be an artist before I met the Lord. Even after meeting the Lord, I still tried to paint a few things, and I had never sold one painting. They were all unbelievable paintings, but I'd never been able to sell one. And I'm standing in this little courtyard, and I look up, and this is about 20 years ago, and I hadn't painted for 20 years. I'd given it up. And I saw a picture, and I knew I had to paint it. So I painted it. It was of a field on fire. Fields on fire. I finished painting it, and a pastor, he came by my house. He said, who did that? I said, me. He says, is it for sale? I said, yeah. And he said, how much? $500. I thought that was stretching a little. He said, sure, here. Boom, took it. I thought, whoo, first painting I've ever sold in my whole life. So then I thought, well, you know what? I should paint it again, but do a bigger one. And so I did a bigger one, about twice the size. It was about four times the size. It was really, you know. And somebody came by my house and said, I like that painting. Is it for sale? I said, sure. And they said, how much? I said, $2,500. They said, here, sure, I'll take it. They took it. I'm going, what? So I did a bigger one. I did a really, really big one, like that big, 6x4, and same painting. And somebody else saw that. They said, I like that painting. Is that for sale? I said, oh, absolutely. They said, how much? I said, 5,000. They said, really, that all? I thought, I should have said 10. My God, what was I thinking? And then I did a really big one, like 12 by 6, 12 feet by 6. It was huge. And Kong Hee came by. He said, I like that painting. I couldn't sell it to him. I said, do you want it? He said, yeah. So I gave it to him. And so he had it valued by an insurance company up there in Singapore, $100,000. And so I thought, well, that's nice. So I couldn't keep painting the same painting. So I just painted some other things. And they kept on selling. So I found that what I needed to fulfill a provision for what I committed myself to was already in my hands. I already had it. All I needed was a little vision from God to help me discover that. The colonel, responsible for so many dead chickens throughout the world. Kentucky Fried Chicken. I know the pastor of the church that the colonel used to go to. Well, I know his son. And I know that he, on his first big win with Kentucky Fried Chicken, took a $25,000 tithe check into that church and attended that church. I'm not sure whether that's good news for Christianity or not, that we're now, you know, of course it is. Here's the thing. How did he get that? He was 65 years old, sitting on his porch, thinking, is this the rest of my life? He's a retired guy. And he thought, what have I got in my life? He made a list. And then he found he had a little recipe from his mother with 13 herbs and spices that he decided put together in a batter and cover it with chicken, take it down to a restaurant and see how it went. It became the top-selling item on the menu. So he started his own store. It got lines outside. So he said, I'll start a franchise. And the rest is history, as I say. A lot of chickens have died. And so now you've got just a little recipe on a piece of throwaway paper of 13 herbs and spices. What have you got in your house? It's in you. As long as you're looking outside, you got no chance of discovering it. But what God is going to use is in your grip. It's within your reach. It's within your hand. Your possibilities are endless. Now that's the next point. He says, listen, go borrow vessels. Do not borrow a few. Think big, sister. Do not just borrow one or two. Get as many vessels as you can. Tell your sons to get involved in the miracle. The victims become the victor. The ones who are going to get sold become the sellers. The ones who are going to get taken away are the ones who get recovered through a massive miracle. And so he says, shut the door behind you. Now, here's my message for you this morning. That prophet said to that woman, get ready for a miracle. Get empty vessels because something's going to happen in your world in the next few hours that could be absolutely life-transforming. If you get enough empty vessels in your house, you're going to experience an endless, unlimited, everlasting flow of the oil of God. So she ran around the village. They got as many vessels as they could. They stuck them in there. Listen to me. If she had got 10 Japanese super tankers for oil, there'd still be a skeleton in Israel there holding a flask of oil with oil pouring out. It was only going to ever stop when empty vessels stopped being brought. The only reason that oil stopped flowing was because there was not another empty vessel. And they just kept pouring it. Now, here's the thing. It didn't just solve their problem. It solved all their debts. But they had enough left over for the rest of their lives to live on. Their mortgage was covered, their house was paid for, all their debts were gone, and now they could live for the rest of their days on a supernatural supply. God isn't just going to work in spiritual, invisible, ethereal, unphysical ways. He has actually got miracles for you that work in your real world that can actually bring blessing, prosperity, and abundance. If you will bring what you've got into His hand today, you're going to find blessing pouring into your world. And here's the thing, friends. As I come to a close, I want to say this and say it with all my heart. As long as there are empty vessels in this house, there will be oil flowing. As long as you and I are collecting people who are empty, people who have got no reason or being or feeling of a future on the inside of them, who are feeling like they've been through so many things that they're empty and they got nothing left to actually face life with, they can discover in this place an oil that is endless, an oil that will flow into them and fill them with the power from another world called the Holy Spirit. Let's all stand as we come to a close right now.
C3 Church is a vibrant, contemporary community of people who want to know Jesus more and be equipped to live their best life. We have over 300 churches around the world waiting to welcome you. So find your nearest C3 at c3churchglobal.com.
Hi friends, I am so excited about our new album, Only Love. Download it on iTunes. It is fantastic. I've found this has such a buoyant effect on my soul. When I'm listening to this music, it lifts me, it helps me worship God. And I'm telling you, during the day when I'm not even listening to the music, those songs keep singing themselves on the inside of my heart. I know you're going to love this great album, Only Love, from C3 Church.
Negative circumstances constantly send us the message that we are far less than what the New Testament declares us to be.
Fact is, by grace, He has fully qualified, fully accept you, and all you can do is say, thank you, Lord, I'll receive it.
Who are you in Christ? The latest book from Pastor Phil Pringle intends to awaken us from that spiritual kind of amnesia that dilutes our true identity.
As long as you remain in that covenant place, you will find yourself accepted and qualified by God to sit at the right hand of the throne of God.
The Born Identity, who we are and what we have in Christ, is available now at philpringle.com.
Hey, it's Beck Pringle here. Thanks for joining us today. We wanted to take a moment to say a special thank you on behalf of Pastor Phil and Chris to all of our friends and partners and congregations all around the world that helped to make this podcast possible. We're praying and believing with you for favor and blessing over all of your lives. To tell us your story of how this message has impacted you, please email us at podcast@myc3church.net.